You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Wiped out.
I'm John Clemens.
The number of Americans seeking unemployment aid rose for the second straight week, yet remained at a low level that is consistent with more hiring. The Labor Department says applications increased 12,000 last week. Other data suggests that the number of laid-off workers applying for benefits is still low. Stocks are lower in early trading. European indexes have fallen today amid renewed concerns over Greece's future in the Euro currency union. And Netflix soared 13% after reporting a big gain in subscribers. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how to use social media to boost sales, why the best salespeople get lucky, what fantastic bosses do to inspire, why a CEO just took a $930,000 pay cut, how to make your customers feel extra special, the importance of Googling yourself often, and the 10 ways that you can make customer feel extra special. It's Thursday, April 16th, 2015. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Taking Care of Business. My name is Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 59 degrees. It's on its way up to 67 with a low of 49 today. For tomorrow, cloudy skies with showers throughout the day and a high of 67, a low of 44. For Saturday, to be mostly sunny with a high of 75 and a low of 42. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 64 degrees and a low of 48. So get out there and enjoy some of this weather. Go clean the yard, work on the car, do whatever you're going to do, but get out there and enjoy it.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way we be. Taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 22.29 to 18,098.32. The Nasdaq down 5.97 to 5,005.31. S&P 500 down 3.26 to 2103.39. Oil down a dollar to $55.39 per barrel. Gold down $4.10 to $1,197.20 per ounce.
Did you bring the cavalry?
Woman, I am the cavalry.
Yes, I am. Well, we are back from our trip last weekend. Flew down to North Carolina, stayed in the Charlotte area for a day. Then we went down to South Carolina, visiting colleges with my son. Very happy to say that Colin has now picked a college, and he will be attending the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, in the fall. And I got to tell you, after I posted this on Facebook when I was down there, because, and I really mean it. You know, people think I was joking, but I would love to be able to go back to college, but kind of in a customized way, if you will. I want to go back to college with the knowledge that I have now, you know, and then I want to be able to go there but experience college life today. Now, we visited UNC Charlotte, and I was very impressed. 1,000-acre campus, 500 acres of which has been developed. It seemed like every building was new, and just a beautiful, you know, bucolic setting, if you will, on that campus. So I felt very comfortable being on that campus. But the curriculum that's being offered now, and the many different majors that you have, and the program studies and the course offerings, I would love to go back right now and be able to tap into all that. So to the graduating class of 2015, all you high schoolers out there, the parents of a graduating senior this year, and even future graduates, you know, within the next 2 or 3 years, listen up. If you're not already, if you're a student, I want you to graduate high school, have fun, finish out your senior year. But when you get to college, I want you to immerse yourself in everything you possibly can. Get involved in clubs. Go to the basketball games. Go to football games. Go to Greek Week festivities. You don't have to join a fraternity, but at least go see what's going on campus. There are 490 clubs and activities that students can take care of or can participate in on the UNC Charlotte campus, or over 500 on the University of South Carolina campus. The food selection was out of this world. In addition to regular meal plans, you know, you can go to different places. You can go to a Subway, you can go to a Taco Bell, you can go to a Panera Bread at the Starbucks, and they're all right on campus. When I was in college, we had a food service line. They served a daily special called SOS, and you can leave that up to your imagination, but it was something on a shingle. And there was always a tray of liver, and I think I'm the only person in 4 years that ever ate the liver. It may have been the same tray for all 4 years until I finished it, but it was just amazing that, you know, what these kids have. And now, another fair warning to anybody going to college, you know, we always talk about the freshman 15. You may have to worry about the freshman 25, because with all those food options, it's very easy to see how you can definitely expand your girth, if you will. But so anybody who's getting ready to do college visits, you know, in the next year or two, enjoy it. You know, we didn't influence my son in any way. He made his own mind up, and that's where he wanted to go. We couldn't be happier with his selection. So that was all good. Getting into the program, it's currently 12:09. You're listening to Taking Care of Business, just in case you stumbled across this station and had no idea what we were talking about. I do want to point out, we were joking about it as we transitioned from the library show to my show. This is National Library Week. And the two hosts of the library show forgot to mention that. So, you know, we're going to have to talk to them about that at the next staff meeting. But, you know, at least I will wish everybody a very happy library week. And that was another thing on these college campuses, just the vast amount of resources that they had in libraries. There was one dorm that had a 25-station, you know, computer lab in the first floor of the dorm. So it's almost like you don't even have to bring a laptop with you. So, again, just wish I could go back, but I'm too old for that stuff. So anyway, and what would I do? I wouldn't be able to be here with you talking every Thursday afternoon. During the preview, I mentioned how your small business can use social media to boost sales. And this is one area that I've been spending a lot of time on, a lot of research on, because it's obviously a topic that comes up regularly here on the program. But I wanted to see, and I've talked to several people, including folks from a company called Main Street Hub, about social media and social media marketing and cross-channel marketing. And it just seems like all of these things now are kind of interwoven, if you will. And so what you do in a print ad can also be used on a Facebook page, can also be used in an email newsletter to your customers, can be printed on a flyer to have at your sales counter, can be posted on Pinterest and Reddit and all these other things. So it just seems like if you're not embracing social media for your business, you're missing the ability to reach a large target audience. Now, in 2014, consumer shopping behavior evolved rapidly. Shopping online through mobile devices is now the new norm, and the experience has become increasingly more social with platforms such as Facebook and Twitter. Now, these platforms, in turn, have launched new commerce capabilities like the Buy button. These new buying habits promote small business, quote, e-tailers, opportunities to immediately grow their revenues. According to Invesp, social commerce is expected to grow and will represent 5% of online retail revenue this year, resulting in an estimated $14 billion in sales by the end of 2015. Now, given those numbers, it's no surprise that many large retailers are making significant investments in social media marketing to offer millions of potential customers a seamless, flexible, and more personalized shopping experience. Now, while these large businesses may have significant budgets to spend on social commerce and marketing, smaller-sized companies, too, can leverage their new social trends to drive increased revenue. So consider these five strategies to boost sales for the rest of 2015, the first of which is to get personal. Social media is a place for genuine engagements with consumers, and often these dialogues result in loyal, long-term customers. In addition to promoting product deals, you can use platforms like Twitter and Facebook to share non-product-related stories and visuals that will evoke positive emotions and lead to, quote, sharing. You might also ask consumers to share their stories and insights on topics related to your industry. In doing so, consumers will feel more connected to you and to your brand, and they'll be more inspired to purchase from you. Number two, you want to prioritize customer service. Now, for many consumers, a company Facebook page or Twitter handle is their first customer service resource, and the last thing you want is for unhappy customers to share negative experiences with other followers. To prevent any negative impact on your brand, stay on top of consumer and customer issues by responding to all queries within 12 hours and then providing a rapid resolution. Now, if you don't have enough staff to provide this level of service, consider investing in social media monitoring tools. Additionally, when a customer shares a favorable experience, consider resharing it across company social channels. Number three, don't estimate the selling power of a hashtag. Retailers continue to revolutionize the way consumers shop on social media. For example, Amazon has elevated the social commerce experience with hashtag AmazonCart, which allows Twitter users to add products from tweets with a link directly to their Amazon shopping cart so they can purchase the item later. You don't need highly sophisticated technology to produce results. Apply a similar strategy by using free social media sharing tools such as Hootsuite to schedule regular tweets regarding product deals, holiday campaigns, or company storytelling. Each tweet should include a compelling visual, a promo code, a direct link for purchase, and a relevant hashtag, such as hashtag pet food or hashtag pet lover, if, for example, you were a pet store owner. Yesterday, I tweeted out and did a LinkedIn post and a Facebook post on the fact that we had to rent a box truck to deliver 1,700 trophies to three accounts. And the response was great. Just adding that picture of the back of a box truck fully loaded with boxes of trophies was amazing. We got a ton of likes on the LinkedIn page. A lot of people tweeting back, you know, congratulations. And on Facebook, a lot of comments from people saying that it was great to see a young small business was succeeding. So that one picture, adding that visual, and more importantly, lately adding video to any posting could be huge as far as getting more and more people to open up any emails or marketing tools that you may send. Number four, recognize that social and mobile go hand in hand. Businesses of all sizes cannot ignore the significant impact of daily mobile use and mobile purchasing, especially given the fact that 85% of Americans surveyed said that mobile devices are a central part of their everyday lives. Just look at any kid walking. They can't walk five steps without having that phone in front of them. And that's according to Salesforce. With over 1 billion monthly active users, the Facebook mobile app is the perfect platform for reaching a high volume of buyers on the go. As with Twitter, Facebook allows you to develop a schedule of posts with product deals accompanied by compelling visuals, promo codes, and direct links for purchase. Number five, add an online store directly into your social media platform. You can optimize your online reach even further by adding a shopping cart directly onto your Facebook page, so your customers are able to shop and purchase without ever leaving Facebook. You also can add a store to where your WordPress blog or any other online site where you promote products. These tools tend to be mobile responsive and adapt to any device, so you can ensure a seamless shopping experience for customers. By using these five strategies this year, you can make a significant impact on your 2015 sales. And while your small business may not have the sizable budget larger businesses do, these moves will provide the seamless purchasing experience consumers are looking for, and you will have the opportunity to reach a broader range of customers who just may become your most loyal customers. Excellent advice there. It's something that I'm trying to integrate more and more into my business, and many of our fellow franchise store owners are trying to do the same. And just any way you can communicate, you have to look at what's going on in the world today. Newspapers are seeing a decrease in sales of about 35%. People are getting their news off of their tablets and smartphones. I have the USA Today app, and very quickly every morning I scan the headlines, read the stories I want. I'll check back later in the evening and make sure that I look at any news stories that may come up. If I miss the NBC Nightly News, I go to their app and I can watch the whole telecast. So the traditional forms of getting your information and, in effect, getting your marketing have changed rapidly. So getting social with your business is vitally important. Any business that doesn't have, at the very least, a Facebook page is really missing the boat as far as your accessibility to prospective customers. Currently 12:17, we're going to step away and take a break, and when we come back, more Taking Care of Business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next 40 minutes as we continue to discuss issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Well, we just talked about the importance of being social. Here's 10 ideas for maximizing your business online. Now, your company needs some kind of an online presence if you want to succeed in today's business world. Now, whether that's going to be a blog, social media, or some other kind of website, developing a comprehensive online presence is key to making a modern business thrive. But creating and maintaining such an online presence takes time and constant work. Now, here's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, you want to follow blogs for entrepreneurs. You can gain a lot of entrepreneurial knowledge by learning about the successes and the failures of other business owners. Business blogs can be a great resource for such information. You also want to break certain social media rules. There are a lot of rules when it comes to posting on social media. Post links to other people's content more than your own. Use one or two hashtags per post, but not all of these rules will be the best for every business. You want to design a website that works for your business. The design of your website can make a huge impact on whether or not people will visit and then actually stick around. There are so many different factors that go into designing an effective website. You want to use time-saving tools for social management. Any business with an online presence should be using some kind of social media to reach customers. Posting and tracking mentions on a bunch of different platforms can be pretty time-consuming, though. So you want to sometimes use a service like Yext to do that for you. Improve customer engagement online. Having a successful social media presence means more than just posting links and updates a few times per day. You also need to interact with customers. You also want to find out why your company might be losing followers. Getting followers is only part of the battle when it comes to succeeding on social media. You also have to work constantly to provide great content so that they'll stick around. There are a few common mistakes that many customers will make. Hopefully, you won't be doing these. Number one, post often. Number two, keep it relevant. You also have to improve your writing skills. Now, whether you're an attorney, an artist, or any other kind of business owner, the ability to write great content can be a huge asset. But the trick is being able to write in a way that people can actually follow and relate to. You also have to remember that when you're writing about the topics that interest you, you're the expert, and the audience is just that, the audience. And so many of my fellow store owners say that they envy me and my writing style, and I say, but you're the expert. You already know everything there is to know about trophies, the trophy industry, different awards. So pass that knowledge on, and you'd be surprised how quickly you can do this. And again, just do it in a clearly written format. You should have clear goals in mind for your website. Now, your blog or your business website should be an online representation of your brand. So as your business grows and changes, so should your website. And that means that every few years or so, you should consider a website redesign. But you need to set very specific goals for your redesign in order for it to move your brand forward. Generate visitors through what's known as a long-tail search. When working on your site's SEO, you'll focus a lot on one-word keywords, but long-tail keywords can be equally useful for certain websites. You also want to avoid e-commerce mistakes. When selling products online, you have to use a lot of different online marketing techniques, and there are a lot of common mistakes that can go along with those methods, so make sure you're missing them. This can be as far as price, availability, or running out of your inventory too early. So there's just a couple of tips on how you can do a little bit better job in regards to your social media marketing and your business presence online. One term that I hate in sales is when someone looks at a particular salesman and says, he's so lucky. And the reason I take offense to that is years ago as a recruiter, I had broken every sales record in the office and people said, you're so lucky. And I'm like, I don't get it. I'm coming in an hour earlier than you are. I'm leaving an hour later than you do. I'm making twice as many phone calls. I'm working my tail off. I'm qualifying candidates at home at night, which you're not doing as you're home sitting watching Dancing with the Stars, but I'm lucky. What it was I was working harder than everybody else. But I think to a certain degree, there is a little bit of luck involved in sales. Sometimes it's just getting lucky and hitting it off with the right person at a company at that time. But many sales managers have a difficult relationship with luck. Now, they love it when it's helping their teams, but they know how unreliable it is. They've seen it occasionally give a lift to morale, but they're probably familiar with studies showing that attributing success or failure to random outside factors drains salespeople's willingness to try new strategies. As a consequence, many sales managers de-emphasize luck, instead stressing the importance of stable, measurable, and controllable factors such as motivation and specific behaviors. But if you downplay the power of luck, you stand to fall behind competitors who have learned how to manage it.
manage luck?
Yes, you actually can do that. Research shows that luck should be viewed as a controllable determinant of salespeople's achievement. Success derives not from effort alone, but from a combination of effort and luck. An understanding of luck's synergistic role in success can improve performance and increase young salespeople's confidence in the face of uncertainty and failure. These findings are based on a set of studies, exploratory interviews with 19 people, including successful sales professionals and sales students, and research involving 250 university sales students who sold sponsorships and openings for players in a real golf tournament and sold job advertising and recruiting booths for a career fair. The students had territories and quotas and used customer relationship management systems. Through follow-up interviews, it was found that experienced salespeople can tell many tales of luck, and they tend to say that an important factor in their jobs is called provoked luck, unexpected events that come about because their strategic behavior has maximized these opportunities. An example of provoked luck is a salesperson from Xerox who first lost an important account and then won it back because he happened to help a client of the accounts, and that client put in a good word for him with the original. The salesperson was always getting himself into lucky circumstances. The research findings involving the sales students estimated the importance of luck-related events in selling. For example, in one semester, after 70 students sold more than $132,000 in golf tournament sponsorships, they attributed more than two-thirds of the revenue to luck. In fact, of the more than $430,000 raised in selling the golf tournament and career fair, about 60% came from what was called lucky circumstances, with the rest deriving from standard sales processes. From 76 to 88% of the luck circumstances were incidences of provoked luck. The numbers would no doubt vary somewhat in other contexts, but it was believed that luck is part of sales success in many, if not all, segments. In most other business endeavors, too, but that's another story. So how do you manage this hugely important sales input? The key is belief. The greater a salesperson's belief that success is a combination of luck and effort, and that good luck will come along sooner or later, the greater his or her sales activities, such as making phone calls, meeting prospects, qualifying prospects, and gathering intelligence about prospects and competitors will be. The greater the sales activities, the greater the opportunities for luck, and the greater the person's provoked luck. The greater the provoked luck, the higher the performance. Belief in the power of luck seems to boost self-assurance, thereby helping experienced sales professionals remain optimistic in the face of setbacks and assisting inexperienced salespeople in overcoming uncertainty and fear of failure. Now, these factors are critical in helping salespeople maintain motivation and job satisfaction. They also matter a lot in reducing turnover, especially for rookies. Not only does a belief in luck boost sales behaviors, but it works the other way around, too. Sales behaviors can set the stage for improved luck. And I hear a few such behaviors, but best of all, they are teachable. Gathering competitive intelligence. Salespeople should be trained to search for knowledge about customers, prospects, competitors, and the overall market. The more field intelligence a salesperson has, the smarter and luckier he or she will become. Strive for mindfulness. Salespeople should learn to be calmly alert as to what's going on in their environment so that they're focused on the customer's objectives and open to unexpected opportunities. Salespeople who are more aware of what the customer is saying are more interesting to the customer. You should also set high goals. Now, I'm not talking about quotas. I'm talking about ambitious goals, such as trying to surpass one's past performance. Salespeople should be encouraged to adopt such goals because they drive forward-looking behaviors. Ambitious goals make salespeople more creative and strategic. Fail better is another teachable behavior. It's important for salespeople to remain positive, even in the face of failure. Encourage them to set failure goals, such as being denied by X number of companies in a day or month. That way, everyone can feel good about their failures as well as their successes. Change your circumstances. Salespeople should also be encouraged to disrupt their habits, get out of their routines and comfort zones, and meet new people. They should do new things, expand their networks by going to unusual places, and build new alliances. In sales, opportunities lie not among the people you know, but among those you don't. The nature of sales is that reps face endless uncontrollable sources of potential failure, ranging from competitors' better deals to budget cuts to customers' unwillingness to make quick decisions. The setbacks can be so demoralizing that young sales professionals too often give up before they begin to see positive results. A young salesperson's best tool for getting through this valley of despair is a firm belief in luck. Not the luck of random windfall, but the kind of provoked luck that truly helps increase the odds of success. Currently 12:31, a brief check of the weather is showing that for today we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 67 degrees and a low of 49. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with showers throughout the day and a high of 67 degrees, a low of 44. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 75 and a low of 42. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 64
and a low of 48. You're currently listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about another half an hour. Glad to be with you and talking about business and the issues affecting them as we go along. Now, I'm not sure if you heard this story this week, but this was a great one. I saw this the other night on the NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. And it's the story of Gravity Payments and the CEO there and what he did for his employees. Now, Dan Price is the CEO of Gravity Payments, and he slashed his $1 million salary and at the same time raised the minimum salary of his employees to $70,000, almost doubling their salaries of 25% of the company. Now, what Dan did certainly made headlines and helped launch a ton of conversations about the wage gap, outrageous CEO pay, and employee retention. But to me, I thought it was one of the boldest community building moves that I've seen recently. So how did Price build the Gravity community with this move? First, he created commonality and belonging. When members of a community, in this case its leader, make sacrifices on behalf of the community, it makes it stronger. By eliminating the wage gap in his company, he established a baseline commonality that all employees can now share. That there is an alarming wage gap at Gravity. That there isn't, rather, an alarming wage gap at Gravity. He invested in his employees and listened to their indirect voice. Through internalizing a study that income and happiness are correlated, but up to $75,000 annually, he saw an actionable outcome that could directly affect his community of employees. Price proved that he was acknowledging his employees' needs, values, and opinions, and empowered his community by investing in them with bigger paychecks. He communicated value. Any way you look at it, salaries communicate value. Bonuses, pay cuts, and pay raises are all commonly directly tied to your reward for being a good or bad employee. Communities thrive on what its members perceive as valuable. By raising the minimum salary for all of his employees, he said, "I appreciate you." He fostered a connection by slashing his own salary. Now, I'm sure one of the major ways Gravity was able to fund a move like this was through Price taking such a huge pay cut. But beyond the math, his leadership move fosters a connection with all levels of his team. Now he can go to his most junior account manager and, at minimum, have a connection that demonstrates we're on the same level. Let's grow this together. And do you think that was a bold community-building move? What other community benefits will Price expect to see? Will customer loyalty, the amount of repeat customers or referrals, increase? And it was great because NBC was in the room when they made the announcement, when Price made the announcement of the reducing his pay and then increasing everybody else. And just the relief on people's faces, the high fives being passed around. It was great to watch. And then when they interviewed some people later, you know, these were people that were making $25,000, $30,000 a year. Now they were talking about buying homes, being able to provide for their children, things like that. So it was definitely a great story to listen to. Well, here's a topic that I mentioned in the preview that not everybody does, but everybody should. Now, the question is, have you Googled yourself lately, or have you Googled your company lately? Now, go ahead, Google yourself. I'll wait. What do you see? A lot of times, we don't take the time to see what's being said about us. So, if your name appears in a newspaper article, if there's a bad posting about you and you're listed by name, it's always a good idea to Google yourself and see what's out there in the cyberspace about you. Another great thing to do if you're a business owner or you own a company or you work in a company, manage a company, is to set Google alerts. And this way, every time your company is mentioned, a Google alert will pop up. When I was down in South Carolina last week, I got a Google alert that Crown Trophy of Flemington was listed in a news article in the Huntington County Democrat. And the funny thing was, the day before, I read the whole paper. I didn't see that we were mentioned. And then the Google alert allowed me to see both where and why we were mentioned, and it was for the South Huntington High School new Hall of Fame, where we had provided the plaques. And it was just a one-sentence blurb, but it was nice to be to get that mention. Now, social media can be the enemy or the best friend of a job seeker, depending on how it's used. And it's a known fact that recruiters and hiring managers use social media to research their applicants, and that many use social media to recruit their applicants. Now, while you can avoid social media altogether while you are job hunting, that is not always the best route. Social media is unavoidable in this day and age, and recruiters could be looking at your page when you aren't even interviewing. So why not use it to your advantage? And here are some do's and don'ts of social media use. And remember, last week I talked about Kevin O'Leary from the television show Shark Tank. Googles all of his candidates, looks at their Facebook page, and said he basically has hired the person before they even sit down for the formal interview based on what he's learned about them in their online footprint. So the first is, do you have an appropriate picture? Your Facebook picture does not need to be a headshot, but it should not be having you holding a cocktail or being underdressed. Social media is personal, but it is not private. So if you would be embarrassed if your grandparents saw your profile picture, it's time to change it. You also don't want to miss out on networking opportunities. LinkedIn has become a powerhouse on the career front, and you should not be missing out. You should use LinkedIn groups to network with others in your industry by interacting in conversations and posting your own. You can get your name seen by many professionals, and it shows potential employers that you are knowledgeable and proactive with your career. You should use social media to showcase your talents. If you're going to have a social media page, then why not use it for professional use? LinkedIn and Twitter have many opportunities for you to showcase your knowledge. You can post interesting articles, relevant commentary, or content that shows you are an expert in your industry. You can even use your Pinterest page to blog or show interesting content and show off your knowledge. Do not show your unprofessional side on any form of social media. As I've said before, social media is not private. No matter how many privacy settings you try to implement, bad-mouthing employers or former employers, bragging about slacking off or skipping work are surefire ways to show that you are unprofessional. Even if the posts are not current, recruiters could see them and decide you are not the right fit for a position. So the best advice is to keep your complaints and lazy days off of social media. You want to definitely look for industry-specific social networking sites. Social media has grown over the past few years, and industry-specific social media sites have been growing in popularity. By being active in an industry-specific social networking site, you're reaching a more smaller and more focused audience. You're able to filter out more social media noise to find potential employers or mentors, and likewise, they're able to do the same, which could make them notice you. Now, this is a big one, and I challenge anybody to answer this question honestly. Do not use social media during work hours. Now, unless it's in your job description, avoid social networking during work hours, even if you're using it in a professional manner. It is not your job, and if recruiters, hiring managers, or employees do see your post, there's a good chance they're going to check the timestamp, especially if it's your current employer. So if a future employer sees that you're on Facebook at 2:30 in the afternoon, 10:30 in the morning, at lunchtime, they're going to know that, you know, maybe you're not as focused on the job as you need to be. But do use social media as an educational tool. The amount of content being shared on social media is enormous, and you should be taking advantage of it. Follow industry associations, successful thought leaders in your industry, and companies you admire and read the content that they are sharing. Also, join in on the conversation by commenting, sharing, and seeing what others have to say. Keep an eye out for webinars, courses, or conferences that are being shared by thought leaders that you can participate in. Also, don't think of social media as the only tool you have. While social media is an excellent tool for career advancement and job hunting, it should not be viewed as the golden ticket. It should only be a part of your career growth arsenal. Use social media, but also use traditional techniques such as joining industry associations, meeting with recruiters, visiting job fairs, and networking. Whether or not you decide to use social media is up to you, but social media is not going anywhere, so experimenting with using it as a tool cannot hurt your career, as long as you follow those simple do's and don'ts that I've outlined earlier. So just a couple of thoughts there on social media use. What some people are saying, but Jim, I really had a great time at that party and I want to post those pictures. Well, that's great. What a lot of people are doing are creating the fictitious Facebook account. So if mine is Jim Gano, maybe I post one with a different name and I give that name to my friends. And so if you want to see all the pictures from the party at the lake or something, this is the place to go. But on my regular Facebook page, I got to keep it professional. So just a couple of thoughts. I know there's a lot of people that have two Facebook pages. So when Facebook says they have a billion users, oftentimes it could be closer to about 750 million just because the dual identities that some people have on social media. Currently 12:40, you're listening to Taking Care of Business. 59 degrees here in Flemington. Beautiful day outside, so make sure you get out and enjoy yourself. There are 10 effective ways that you can make customers feel extra special. And we're going to take a look at them when we get back from the break. Currently 12:41, we'll be back and take a look at 10 effective ways to make your customers feel extra special. We'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce are offering a free seminar, Keeping Your Business Safe, on Tuesday, April 28th at 5:30 at the Historic Courthouse in Flemington. This program will include a presentation by Prosecutor Anthony Kearns and then an in-depth discussion by the FBI about physical security and identity theft, followed by presentations on cloud security. Registration is free, but please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-782-3909 to register today. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
Did you bring the cavalry?
Woman, I am the cavalry.
Well, just before the break, I was talking about 10 effective ways to make your customers feel extra special, and I think that's crucial in today's marketplace, and it's really not hard to do. So here are 10 actionable ways that you can get customers' attention and show them that you care about their business. The first is to simply make them famous. Now, you can immortalize them in a scrapbook, through a drink or a sandwich, or even through a drawing or a song. Coffee by Design in Portland, Maine, does this, and as do several coffee shops in Austin, Texas. Customers love being part of the business, and by putting the customer's name on something, even if it's only for a little while, customers can really feel like they've been noticed by your business and that they are an important part of what you do. We've even done that at Crown Trophy with a Model 62 trophy is referred to simply as the Freddy because one of our customers many, many years ago helped design it because he was looking for something taller, so it just has the nickname of the Freddy. You can also send them a handwritten note. Sending a handwritten note instead of a generic printed one, whether it's for a birthday, holiday, or just to thank them for being your customer, writing a note instead of typing something up on the computer can show customers that you care about them. Most companies don't send thank you notes, and those that do generally print them on the computer en masse. By writing something personal, you show customers that you're taking time and making effort to acknowledge that you find them valuable. And that can go a long way toward making them feel real special and keeping their loyalty. Number three, you want to teach them something. Teach them how to make a craft, install an item in their home, or complete a maintenance or upgrade task. Your company doesn't have to just sell a product or service. It can also offer something educational. For example, if you have a shop that sells craft supplies, you can hold classes on how to make specific crafts. If you sell tile, hold classes that show customers how to install it themselves, the right way. Showing your customers how to do something for themselves can make them feel more confident, and they'll remember that your company took the time to teach them a new and valuable skill. Number four, create a Facebook group just for VIP customers. Now, what better way to get your customers talking about your business than giving them a place to do just that? They can share thoughts and ideas with one another, and you'll learn a lot about them that way. It could even help you see what changes you might want to make to your business, since you'll find out what customers like and don't like about what you have to offer. Number five, Recognize your customers' achievements. Now, acknowledge when they achieve something, both personal and professional, through social media, a bulletin board in your lobby, or on a company newsletter. When you see your customer's name in the paper for something important, or he or she tells you about an achievement, make sure you acknowledge that. Doing these things says that you value your customers and you want to see them succeed. Sometimes even something as small as cutting out that article and the banner headline so that they can keep that forever goes a long way. We do that all the time. There are professional services that will do this for you called clipping services. If we see one of our customers, whether it's a picture of a baseball league or something like that, we cut it out. We send it to the president of the league just to say, we're watching. And by the way, congratulations on your win. Also, put them in your social media spotlight. Every week, month, or at an interval of your choosing, pick a customer and spotlight him or her on your social networks with the customer's permission, of course, as someone who's important to your business. Be sure to be specific about the customer and what he or she means to your business, as opposed to just saying something generic that it could apply to anyone. You also could try sponsoring a community event. Now, you don't have to give something specific to each individual customer to show them that they matter. You can also do something big for all of them at once. By sponsoring a community event, you can attract your current customers as well as potential future customers, and that can allow people to come check out what you do without feeling any pressure to buy. That's a great way to get people more involved in their community and show them that they matter to you and other local businesses as well. You can also give random upgrades and discounts without being asked. Whether your company offers products or services, you probably have different tiers with different price ranges. On a schedule that you select, choose a random customer and give them an upgrade for a free or discount their bill by a small percentage. They'll remember it, and they'll tell others. You may even see an increase in customers because they're hoping to win an upgrade or discount, too. Doesn't have to be a huge discount of money. You just have to value your customers. Number 9, you can also offer a homemade treat, like a fresh-baked cookie. Not only is the smell of those baked goods enticing to customers, they will appreciate the small gesture and the time and effort it took for you to make something with your own hands instead of buying a prepackaged option at the store. Number 10, and I love this idea, you can throw a customer-only party. Now, everyone loves a party. A party or after-hours event is a great way to show your customers that they matter to you and that you're choosing them to come and celebrate with you. The party can be for a special event happening at your business, or it can be designed specifically around customer appreciation. Either way can work well, as long as you make sure that the customers are on the main focus of the festivities. You can even provide catered food and goodie bags to give customers who come to your party as a little something extra. So those are 10 ideas of how you can make your customers feel extra special. I'd appreciate it if you have any other ideas of things that are working for you. Shoot me an email or a text or post it on my Facebook page and let me know what you do to make your customers feel extra special. We talk a lot on the program and in many business circles about customer acquisition. How do you find more customers? And one thing that a lot of businesses tell me is that it's easy to find new customers 5, 10, 15 miles away. It's finding local customers that's bugging the heck out of them since they're doing business in their town, but they just feel like they're missing the boat on the local side. So how do you go about finding local customers online? Now, making it easier for local customers to find your business online is one thing, but rather than wait for them to come to you, how about proactively finding and engaging with them online? Time spent in the early days of establishing your online presence will pay off long term as your online community grows and then begins to sustain itself. Is it all about social media? We've explored using social media to drive your local marketing before here on the program, and social media is a great tool for growing your local customer base, but there are other platforms you should also consider, ones that your competitors may have overlooked. First, where do your local customers hang out? Now, apart from the usual culprits like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, there are plenty of other places that online where your customers are hanging out. First, you should identify what your customers are interested in. A clear customer avatar will help you do this. For example, if they're parents with young children, they'll be interested in everything to do with babies and toddlers. If they're couples setting up a home, it'll be interiors, lifestyle, and DIY that they're after. And if they're coming up to retirement age, well, maybe it's investments, money, and trips around the world might be of interest. This is a very simplistic idea, but you get the general sense of where I'm going. You also need to be clear in your objectives and explore tactics for implementing them. And naturally, you'll be looking to make sales, but how will this be achieved? What steps will you take to convert leads into prospects and then into customers? This might involve providing information in the form of content marketing, such as blog posts, videos, infographics, etc. Offering discounts or freebies to new customers or holding an event to reach a larger audience. But where are they? Local online communities, depending on your sector, there are plenty of sector or interest-specific online communities that you can target. Consider whether to advertise on these or use their discussion boards to answer people's questions, suggest relevant resources such as a blog post on your website. Local chambers of commerce, like here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and professional organizations. If your business is a member of the local chamber or other local organization, it might be possible to use their online presence to promote your own company. Of course, you'll be listed in their membership details, but how about providing them with content that will help you both? Most organizations will welcome an impartial guest blog post written with their target audience in mind, and you'll benefit from their promotion of it. How about affiliate marketing? If you can identify local bloggers, organizations, or even other local businesses that share your target audience and attract high volumes of traffic to their site, you might like to consider affiliate marketing. Now here, the affiliate site earns money from every click from their website to yours. Although this differs from referral marketing in that the affiliate is not recommending your services, website owners are unlikely to be interested in such an arrangement if they feel your business does not complement their own. Also use display advertising. Now this form of advertising crosses over into affiliate marketing as well, as essentially what you are asking an affiliate to do is place an ad for your company on their site. However, with display advertising, your advertisement can be placed on any number of websites that meet specific criteria that you set, such as keywords on the site and your budget. Websites naturally have to allow display ads for these to appear, and you will need the help of an experienced marketer to help set up a campaign. You also can use local influencers. Who's the best connected person in town? Many of the suggestions that we've talked about already rely on you identifying the top local influences for your sector. This might be someone in the local chamber of commerce, the person who runs a successful local Facebook group, a blogger, a business event organizer, or the music critic at your local newspaper. Whoever's setting the agenda for your area of expertise, you want to get them on your side. Consider ways that you can collaborate with them. Free products for review, tickets to your event, content for their website, special offers or exclusive previews. Give the influencer a reason to take an interest and build a working relationship with them. Most of all, if you're looking for local customers, keep all your marketing efforts local and relevant to your target customer. Playing the local card has real benefits online, and we may spend more time online than we do in our, quote, real local communities, but we still want that personal connection and to feel like we're part of our physical local community. Currently 12:53 here in Hunterdon, and we're getting ready to wrap up the show here today. Just want to remind you, there will be no show next week as I will be out of town and heading up to Vermont and spending a weekend with my wife as we celebrate our 29th anniversary. So if you don't mind, I'm going to give her a little bit of my time since I give you an hour every week. And then on May 7th, we are going to have the folks from Fimbledore here in the studio to talk about their business based out in White House Station and how you can beautify your home with a new garage door. And I'll tell you, the work that they do and the products that they have are absolutely beautiful. So you're going to want to pay attention to that. And we're also going to talk about some of the easy repairs and maintenance that you can do to extend the life of your garage door. Now, let's talk about fantastic bosses and what they do to inspire their employees. For most of us that dealt with bosses throughout our careers, the words fantastic, awesome, and wonderful are probably not the first words that ever came to mind. But there are fantastic bosses. And if you are, like me, a boss now, and you want to strive to be fantastic, great bosses do more than just sit in the corner office. They manage to inspire their employees to greatness. Rather than nagging or creating a negative environment of fear and competition, their offices become places of encouragement and success. But how do they do it? First, they lead by example and not just by talk. Leading by example touches upon many areas of a professional organization. Take HubSpot, for example. The company is known for having an office-less floor plan to encourage cooperation among their employees. Whether you personally love or hate the idea of taking down office and cubicle barriers, the key here is that everyone participates in the plan, even the founders and executives. The leads of the company participate in the company culture rather than being separate from it. It also extends to company processes. If you introduce a new management system or you have a defined protocols for reviewing documents, you must follow them as well. Casting separate rules for yourself at any part in the organization will only alienate your employees later. You want to give employees a sense of accomplishment and purpose. Money might be a fantastic motivation for getting people to perform menial tasks, but if you want to encourage creativity and complex analysis, you want to motivate people with emotion and purpose. Providing employees with the emotions associated with accomplishment and purpose can be the perfect way to inspire incredible work. You also want to place a strong emphasis on progress. Have you ever participated in a fundraiser that had one of those progress bars that showed how much your contribution brought to the organization closer to its goal? What was the impact of that bar compared to an open-ended fundraiser? Progress helps us feel as though our work means something and has value for the organization as a whole. It helps us feel appreciated and feel good about our work. A study conducted by behavioral economist Dan Ariely found that when people could see the fruits of their labor, they naturally became more productive. Effective leaders know how to capture this powerful motivator and use it in the workplace. Being an effective leader is about more than just planning the projection that you would like the company to do. It requires encouraging the rest of the company to follow you on that journey. So just a couple of thoughts there on how to be a fantastic boss, and you can go ahead and implement them this afternoon and then watch your employees just fall in love with you. It'll be great. In sports, the NASCAR teams head to Bristol, Tennessee this weekend for the recently renamed Food City 500 in support of Steve Burns. The name change was predicated in honor of veteran race analyst Steve Burns, who is battling head and neck cancer. And I want to take a moment to wish Burnsy a full and complete recovery, and I can't wait to see you back at the track soon, bud. Last week, Jimmy Johnson won for the second time this year at Texas Motor Speedway. Yesterday, Kyle Busch held a press conference to give an update on his recovery from a terrible crash at Daytona earlier in the year. Right now, the timeline shows that at the earliest, he would be able to return to driving sometime in July. The NHL playoffs began last night. In Major League Baseball, the American League, the Red Sox, Kansas City Royals, and Oakland A's lead their divisions in the American League, while the Atlanta Braves, Cincinnati Reds, and Colorado Rockies lead their divisions in the National League. And in golf, on Sunday, 21-year-old Jordan Spieth became the second youngest winner in the Masters history last Sunday. Great job for him, and he really carries himself well, both on and off the course. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure to join you today for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for an upcoming programming topic or guest, please email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at JimGano83 or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Virginia Tech Massacre, the April 16, 2007 shooting spree, is the deadliest in U.S. history. 33 people were killed on campus, including the gunman. Many others were wounded. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates